That next segment is our Mindful Mondays program brought to you by Mentis. Today we're going to be meeting Lisa Davison, who works with youth currently. And Lisa, welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You are a mental health therapist with Mentis, yes?
Correct,
mm-hmm. Yes. And you've been working on a project with elementary school age kids in regard to their experience from the October wildfires, right?
Yeah. A lot of times I think that this is a kind of a forgotten population because, you know, when we have like a disaster like the fire, or we have, you know, maybe a loss of a loved one or some kind of tragedy that happens, we tend to forget how it's affecting our children. And, you know, we're so busy on trying to figure out, you know, safety and where we're going to live and, you know, those kinds of things that kids kind of get pushed in the background. And then a few months down the road, things start happening and they start behaving differently and acting out. And then we're concerned because it's like, well, what's going on with little Johnny, or, you know, what's happening mm-hmm. with them? So, It kind of shows up a little bit later when we're more paying attention after the initial mm-hmm. fire.
What kind of behaviors or symptoms, I guess, would you start to see from this?
Yeah, you're going to see changes probably in eating and sleeping patterns. They also tend to be more clingy to their caregivers, not wanting to necessarily go to school. They'll complain maybe of headaches or stomach aches or, you know, things like that, and saying, well, I just can't go to school because I need to stay home. Those kinds of things are usually the initial stuff. And then at school, like if we say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, you're going to school. Then they start maybe acting out, like they'll have inattentive, you know, during class, and they'll be disruptive. A lot of times they'll start acting out with anger, a lot of anger. They don't know how to deal with the emotions they're feeling. They don't know how to deal with the stress, so that then they go ahead and they're going to lash out at, you know, peers, teachers, those mm-hmm. kinds of things. Mm-hmm. They can report nightmares, being scared a lot, and that's where the clinginess comes to the caregiver. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot of times. They'll be defiant, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So,
is this in the work you've been doing? Are these results you're seeing from kids who were in some way directly threatened by the fires, where they lost a home or had to flee from the fire, or is it broader than that? People who just were, you know,
it is broader than that. I have both. I have kids that have lost homes. I've had kids that were threatened, that felt, you know, their lives threatened from the fire. I also have kids that, you know, maybe were evacuated and really nothing happened. They didn't lose anything. Or, you know, just the smoke was frightening for a lot of them because it was hard for them to breathe, maybe. Or, you know, I've heard stories of people leaving the valley altogether with their kids because the air quality was so bad, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. So it could be just things like that, and being just displaced and the uncertainty of what was happening around them. So mm-hmm.
So what's been your process in working with these kids? Are you meeting with them in school environments?
Yeah. We run groups, and it's in a group environment, and usually, you know, the groups can consist of, you know, two or three, or it can be as big as five. So it just depends on the I group them together like in age groups and class size. I mean, because you don't want like a kindergartner in with a fourth grader or third grader, because that's just cognitively, they're on different levels, so mm-hmm. You just group them that way. But yeah, it's in a group setting usually. Mm-hmm.
And are these kids self-identified for the program, or are the teachers identifying kids who might need some help, or where is it coming from?
Yeah, the schools basically have identified these kids as having issues or having more issues in class or whatever it is. They know they've lost a home, or they know that this kid is having trouble for whatever reason. And so then they want to get them into groups so they can learn some skills and to cope. And
What kind of skills? What are you teaching them?
I put a curriculum together where it's 8 weeks. It runs 8 weeks, and we started off with mindfulness and like breathing techniques and calming techniques and having a safe place and breathing and looking for a safe place to be. So we create that. We help them create whatever place that may be. It could be outside, or it could be inside, or it could be and they can just close their eyes and think about that place and just breathe calmly and calm themselves down. So it's a matter of a process of doing that. And so we started with that, and we practice that as every week. We'll start off with breathing, or we'll start off with let's do maybe some tapping, because that's helpful, and something that can ground them and make them feel safe and in their environment.
What do you mean tapping?
There's tapping, which helps ground. So you tap like your wrist, and you tap, there's pressure points that you tap. And that helps them. It's a calming effect. Like anybody can do it anywhere. I mean, they can do this in class and not be disruptive. They can do deep breathing in class and not be disruptive if they start to feel anxious or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, these are skills that are not just applicable to the current situation, but in general, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're good for everyone. But I think the sooner they learn this, the easier it is to get through things that happen in life, because that's the way life is. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have tragedies, and we're going to have losses, and we're going to have things that are hard. So learning these things early is good for them.
Mm-hmm. So do you have kids as young as kindergarten age?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
So I have had kids as young as kindergarten age that have had severe PTSD and those kinds of things from different things in their lives. So, and you get depression very young. And instead of, we don't let them go lay in bed like maybe somebody, an adult or a teenager might, but we're getting them up, we're making them go to school. And so then they don't know what to do with that. So then they act out and be disruptive and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
I would guess that kids who already might have a tendency would see that made worse by something like the fires.
Yeah. It does. And so, the coping skills that they learn, and we're also building resilience. I have a resilience workbook I go through with them that we do. And then we'll end with thought processes and that kind of thing, and how their thought processes affect the way they behave. And
So what kind of progress are you seeing?
Kids are responding very well. They are picking up, breathing and those kinds of, and the tapping and those kinds of things very quickly. And so they will come in and say, oh yeah, this helps me. I was upset about this and I was breathing. So, they are starting to use it. So that makes me feel like, we're making some progress with them. So, we'll see how it goes, but I'm giving them skills. We're also doing journaling. Journaling is a really good way to express themselves. A lot of times they don't know how. And I say, well, write down how you feel. And if they don't really want to write, draw how you feel. If you feel stressed, what does that look like? If you're upset, what does that look like? What colors are you using? How can we bring that down to where it's something else, where we could change the way it looks? So drawing, coloring, those kinds of things help.
Mm-hmm. How many total kids are you working with right now?
Approximately about 45.
Yeah. and from all over the county or just in the city of Napa? Or
just in Napa right now. So we have about, you know, there's a bunch of different schools, and we just about 45 from the different schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How often do you meet with them?
Once a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's about how long it is.
Right.
And it's 45 minute.
Mm-hmm. When did this start?
This started back in April, beginning of April, and we will run through the end of May.
Okay.
Right before school.
All right. So you haven't really had that much time with them yet, just a few weeks, right?
Yeah. And it is short, and ideally I would have liked to have gone all year, but that just isn't realistic. Mm-hmm. So, but we work with what we have. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. You know, on one hand, you might think that, young kids like that bounce back quickly. They're still forming. They don't have all the sense of consequences and so forth. Is that a misconception? That
it is a misconception, I think, because kids are very aware of what's going on. Parents sometimes think if we shield the kids from what's happening, then they're not going to be really aware of that. And it's like they know when they're not, you know, being told everything. They are aware of things, and they pick up on things very quickly. And they also pick up on, you know, the parents' feelings and attitudes. And if the parents are stressed out, the kids are picking this up. You know, maybe they don't know exactly why or what's happening, but they will pick up on, you know, the stresses around them, and they are in tune to that, and they pick up on that very quickly. And so even with parents, I like to say, you know, it's good to get your own work and do your own work, because you're then modeling for your child how, you know, it's okay when to be stressed out. It's okay to feel upset. It's okay to be angry about what happened. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel these things, but you need to do your work, and the kids need to see that also, because then they're getting a good idea of how to deal with problems that come up in life.
What do you mean when you say do your work?
I mean, like, going and learning, you know, the coping techniques and how to deal with stress. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, and they don't, you know, and they need to know that, and they need to know how to, you know, get their feelings out. People sometimes, even adults, just we don't know how to deal with certain situations that happen, and know that, you know, like, especially like the disaster, like the fire, affected everyone in this valley that lives here, whether you lost a house or not, and in some way you were affected. And so learning how to deal with the stresses that happen and letting go of the fact that there wasn't really anything you could do about it. Sometimes we get into this thing like, well, we should have done this, or we should have done that. And I don't like the word should, because it then puts blame on people. And I don't think that there was anything anyone could have done. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things. So learning to deal with that and learning to deal with your feelings is something that we all need to do. Mm-hmm. So
very good. We've been talking here with Lisa Davison from Mentis. She's a mental health therapist, and as you heard, has been working with elementary age kids, about 45 of them, in the city of Napa area, dealing with the stress, the leftover feelings and issues that can arise after something like those terrible fires last fall. Thanks for coming in today. Good
information.
Well,
thank you for having me.
You bet.